So today is what we traditionally call Palm Sunday. And it's a day that celebrates Jesus as King. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And I appreciated Lee sharing, because so many people around us, when you say Jesus, the first thing that comes to their mind is not, he's the great King. And so that's the world we live in. And it's inspiring, Lee, to hear you share how you had never heard of Jesus, you didn't think about Jesus, he was like a fairy tale, like Santa Claus. And yet he came and revealed himself to you. As I was reflecting on Jesus coming into Jerusalem and being cheered, it struck me that Jesus was finally getting the recognition that he deserved. For 3 years, he's healing people, he's loving people everybody else rejects, he's even raised dead people, and he's coming into the city, and there's crowds, hundreds, maybe thousands, who knows, waving palms, laying their coats on the ground in honor towards him. He's on a donkey, he's riding in, and the people are excited, and says they praise God for all the miracles they'd seen. So Jesus is worthy of our praise. And that's your first point on your outline. Jesus did miracles and people were praising him for them. And at that time, there were some people who didn't appreciate Jesus. So we heard how the Pharisees rebuked Jesus. They challenged him, said, you need to rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop. And what's his famous answer? If they're quiet, the rocks will cry out. Or I like how the New Living Translation says, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. Hallelujah. And so I think it's significant and important for us to realize there are two kinds of people. There are people who recognize that Jesus is King, and they praise him for it. And there's people who don't believe Jesus is any kind of King, and there's no praise found in them. So for us, like, where are we today in our lives? What about you? Do you believe Jesus is King? Is there praise in your heart and your mind and your mouth towards him? Another amazing thing about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is that someone predicted that would happen. Who remembers which prophet predicted Jesus would ride in Jerusalem? Zechariah. 500 years before it happened, it's on your sheet there, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will speak peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Is that true? If you go, what's the ends of the earth from Boston? Well, if you go to Hong Kong or Shanghai, China, even though Lee didn't meet any Christians in China, they estimate there's over 100 million believers in China. If you go to Indonesia, which is a Muslim nation, guess what? There's millions of Christians there. My friend Zolvi Leon, Indonesian pastor in Boston, he goes back, he's from a church in Indonesia. There's churches being planted everywhere in Indonesia. If you go to Iran or Saudi Arabia, are there Christians there? Yeah, there are. The Euphrates River, there are Christians in Syria and Iraq. Latin America, we know there's tons of Christians there. Africa, there's more Christians in Africa than probably the United States of America now. So this is true. And then to hone in on your king is going to be mounted on a donkey, and he's going to be what? Just, endowed with salvation, and humble. And so that's what I want to focus on today. You serve a humble king. You serve a humble king. Jesus' humility is what exalts him. So on your outline, well, actually, let me make another point. I said that Jesus was being recognized for what he did. How many of you are ever frustrated that you don't get recognized for all the hard work you do. All right? How many mothers feel like they don't get recognized? Yes. How many people at work, you feel like your boss doesn't recognize what you do? You know, you just think, oh, if someone would just say thank you, I'd be like a little more inspired. Well, let's give thanks to Jesus, amen. But two, this is on your outline, let's give thanks and recognition to others for what they do. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. So that's an inspiration for us to honor and thank other people. Now, the next point is, in Scripture, God says that humility is precedes honor. So if you want honor, what kind of person does God want you to be? Humble. That doesn't always seem to work so well, does it? In Scripture, we have an example of Peter. How important was Peter in God's economy? Very important, okay? Jesus said, you're the rock. On you, we're going to start building the church of God. Jesus was a big apostle among the 12. He started the church in Jerusalem. Peter, in 1 Peter 5, in his epistle, when he's describing himself, who remembers how Peter identifies himself? Does he say, Peter, first among the apostles, is writing to you? Peter, the Pope, first Pope, is writing to you? No, he says, Peter, a fellow elder. Okay, do you see what I mean? Like the elders of the church. And Peter's saying, I'm one of the elders. Even though, like, that's his opinion. And if you keep reading on your sheet there, the third scripture down, Peter gives this exhortation. In the same way, you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. All of you must put on the apron of humility to serve one another. For the scripture says, God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. What is Peter referring to? In most translations it says, clothe yourselves with humility. But in the Greek it has that sense of putting on the servant's apron. What is Peter remembering? Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That he took off his clothes, he put on, it says the towel, or it's the servant's apron that the servants wore, and then they washed the more important people's feet. That's the humility of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. Clothe yourselves with humility. Look for ways that you can serve people. It's interesting, he says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. Do you ever worry about not getting enough recognition? Be honest. Yes. Yeah, we worry about that. It's human nature. It's like, does anybody know I exist? Does anybody know how hard I'm working? Does anybody, I mean, mothers, like, does anybody see how much I do for the kids? Kids, do you see that? The answer is, well, no, they don't. They don't get it. It's not until they're older, and then they're like, wow, Mom, you work so hard all those years. So when you're feeling that way, what should you do? Give those concerns to God. That's God's way of saying, like, hey, cast your cares on me. I care for you. I see Jesus said every single thing you do in secret, guess what? Your Heavenly Father sees it, and he will reward you for what you do. Can we say praise God? Yeah, so praise God for that. Now, I have a couple of stories about how powerful humility is. One was just that Estelle shared with us a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her if I could share this story. Estelle was working, and she was in a situation where this person above her was being very, very harsh and cruel. And she came up for prayer, and she's crying out to the Lord and crying with the prayer team. And Charlie just felt really impressed of the Lord to say, God wants you to forgive that person. And it was, you know, it's just, you know how hard it is sometimes to forgive someone, especially if someone's hurting you. But she did it. And she said she was really thinking of reporting the individual, which is not a wrong thing to do. It's, if people are misusing their authority, reporting them is an appropriate course of action. But she really felt God speaking to her, like, the most important thing right now is just forgive this person. So she forgave them, went through the next week, decided not to report the person, and the following week, guess what happened? She got offered a job. And this job, like, is way better than the job she has, and it's way better than the job has that the person who is oppressing her has. And she was like, hallelujah. God knows how to exalt the humble. God knows how to honor those who obey his word and keep it. Here's another story. And I read this years ago from a preacher, and this was a guy, Rick Joyner. Some of you don't know him. He's very prophetic, and his ministry is really into prophecies, you know, miracles, power, you know, Charlie Tago kind of, you know, like emphasis. And he was saying that one of the most powerful miracles he ever saw happened in an airport. Have you ever been in an airport and the plane is late or it's broken down and it's going to be like 2 hours till you like get on the plane? And what immediately happens? People are uptight. There's tension. People are like angry. They're complaining. And there's this big line. They're finally getting on the plane. And these two people were arguing. This person said, hey, I was in front of you. And they're like, no, you were in front of me. And this immense tension is in the room. And it looked like these people were almost going to come to blows. And the guy with him interjected, said, excuse me. He said, why don't you just take my place in line? And then he walked with a suitcase to the back of the line. And Rick Joyner said, everything changed. All of a sudden, there's complete quiet. It's like the peace of God came into that part of the airport because one Christian was willing to humble themselves and go to the back of the line. I love that story. God bless that person. Can we learn to be humble? If you're being humble, who are you imitating? Jesus, okay? So there's no one more humble than Jesus Christ. He was the Word who was God, and he what? Became human. No one else in human history is ever going to lower themselves as much as Jesus lowered himself. Now, the other thing that we like about Jesus is not only was he humble himself, he reached out to other people who were in humble circumstances, people who were oppressed, people who were sick, people that other people didn't like. Jesus welcomed them. So we have a story in Scripture in the preceding chapter. Just a couple days before he comes to Jerusalem, he's in this town of Jericho. And as he's Jericho, there's a huge crowd following him, and he goes by a blind beggar. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Let's think about what is it like to be a beggar, to not have enough, and you're begging other people. That's embarrassing. I mean, what is your natural reaction if there's like somebody asking for a handout and you're kind of walking by? I have to be honest. My natural reaction is like, I mean, okay, I'll just move over to the other side of the sidewalk and like walk fast, and you tend to ignore people like that. So you're being ignored all the time. So by the way, as Christians, we have to overcome that, right? We can't react that way. We have to respond in the spirit of Jesus. So here's a man who's blind. He's there. He's, you know, like eating everybody's dust. And then he hears this huge commotion, and he says, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And somebody says, oh, the prophet Jesus is going by. And this guy goes, Jesus? And he goes, Jesus, son of David! Have mercy on me. And what do all the people around him do? They say, shh, quiet, quiet. Don't bother Jesus. Shut up. And what's he do? He yells louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Why is he yelling? He wants to be healed, right? He's like, this is my one chance. Jesus is going by. My one chance to get better. My one chance to have a life. So he's not going to shut up. And finally, Jesus says, oh, we'll bring him here. It's very interesting. Jesus said, what would you like me to do? And you're kind of like, come on, Jesus. Isn't it obvious? But that's the way God is. God wants you to tell him exactly what you'd like him to do. He says, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And I was pondering that today. I realized this guy used to see. Something happened. He's blind. We don't know if it's months, years, however long he's been a beggar. He goes, I want to regain my sight. And I love how the New Living Translation says it. It says, oh, well then see, your faith has made you well. Just like that. See, great, you want to see? See, your faith has made you well. And he can see. What would happen if we had more faith in Jesus? I'm humbled by this story. What would happen? Cindy Virasinghe is here. Cindy, I always remember your story with Anaya when she was born deaf, and it was around Easter. I remembered you shared your story, and she said, we were praying every day for several months for my daughter, and you said with this great conviction, we just believed her being deaf was unacceptable. And Cindy said that. It was like the hair on my arm stood up. I'm like, whoa. But it's that same earnestness. I want my daughter to hear. I want her to regain my sight. There's just a power in being earnest with God and being humble and crying out to him that God honors. Cindy's daughter can hear great right now. Hallelujah. How did the blind man know Jesus could heal him? Had he ever seen Jesus heal somebody? Probably not. So he's blind, but he'd heard about Jesus, that he could heal people, and so he believed what he heard, and he acted on it. Are you with me? Okay, that's number five on your sheet. He believed it, and he acted on it. And that's how faith works. We hear that we don't always get to see what we hope will happen. We have to hear that God can do it and say, okay, I'm going to believe that. And we act on it. We take action. Praise God. Why was he calling Jesus the Son of David? That's who he was. But what does Son of David mean? That's the title for God's Messiah. So David was a great king, the king of, you know, the greatest king in Jewish history is King David. So if you're a son of David, then you're in the line of the king. You're a king. And so calling Jesus the Son of David meant this blind man believed Jesus was the Messiah, God's promised king. So he was honoring Jesus by what he was yelling. Hallelujah. How many people, when they're in a bad way in life, honor God when they call out to him, right? I mean, everybody's like, God, why did you let this happen? And so people are angry with God. People are bitter towards God, blaming God. And this man said, wow, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is worthy of our praise. Your next fill-in, Jesus did for him what no one else on earth could do. Was there anyone else walking around who could heal blind eyes? No. And it's true today that Jesus can do for you what no one else can do. If you need forgiveness of sins, Jesus can forgive your sins. Healing, encouragement, you're tired, you're worn out, Jesus is the one who can intervene for you and do what no one else can do. Jesus wants to have compassion on you. That's the next fill-in. Jesus wants to have compassion. I want to tell this story. Most of you have heard it, but a few of you haven't, and it's a story worth telling. Our friend Ralph Leo, over in the Middle East a number of years ago, befriended a guy who was a beggar. And he sent an email to a bunch of us and said, hey, guys, I meet all these people, and they're lame, and they need wheelchairs. And I found this really heavy-duty wheelchair we can buy. It costs like $200. But if you guys send me the money, I'll buy some wheelchairs and give them out to these people. So a bunch of people, we all sent some money, and he bought a bunch of wheelchairs. And he drives up to this guy, and the guy's like, he can't walk. He's sitting in the dirt. Ralph goes up to him and says, hey, I have something for you. So he pulls out one of the wheelchairs, pops it open, and the guy's eyes just like light up. He pulls himself onto the wheelchair, wheels himself down the street, turns around, wheels himself back, comes up to Ralph, looks him right in the eye and says, "What kind of man are you?" He said, "Everybody else ignores me. They walk by me. Maybe they throw a couple coins to me. You come, you sit down in the dirt next to me and talk to me. You treat me well. You go out and you buy a wheelchair for me and give it to me. What kind of man are you?" So Ralph said, "Well, I'm a Jesus man." And he had a little gospel message in Arabic on his phone, played it for the guy. Guy gave his life to Jesus. Compassion's powerful. Getting down humble with people is powerful, okay? Let's be that way. Now, I want to look at a few things that Jesus suffered to close out here. How humble was Jesus? Think of the things that bother us and then think, did Jesus ever go through what I went through? Does Jesus understand what I go through? Do we ever ask that question? God, do you understand what I'm going through, how hard it is? All right, so first, how humble was Jesus? One, he was born in a barn. That's pretty humble. Two, he worked really hard for most of his life as a carpenter to make a living. And think about it, this guy's the Son of God, okay? You know what I mean? It's like, he could have gone into the temple and people are praising God for something. So like, hey, guys should be praising me because I was with God. I was with my Heavenly Father. I brought all this into being. But he didn't do that. For 30 years, Jesus kept quiet about who he really was. That takes some humility, right? I'm not sure we would do that. We'd be like, hey, look at me. Yeah, I'm the man. Number two, Jesus was misunderstood. How many of us get frustrated when others don't understand us? One of the number one complaints of wives with their husbands is what? They just don't really get it. They don't understand how I feel. Number one complaint maybe of people working with their bosses is they don't understand how hard I work. They don't understand what I'm going through. Jesus' own disciples didn't understand him. His own mother and brothers and sisters thought he was what? Crazy. They thought he'd gone crazy, and they came to, like, take him away. Thirdly, pain. Does Jesus understand pain of losing someone? Who was his relative who got his head chopped off? John the Baptist. Okay, so Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth, John's mother, were like relatives and close friends. I'm sure Jesus and John grew up seeing each other at family gatherings. So he, when John was killed, that was like really painful. He said when they brought him the news, Jesus went alone to pray. And I'm convinced Jesus was like, well, I'm next. Is that a little heavy thing to kind of carry around? Yep, next year about this time, I'm going the way of John. Jesus understands. How many of you hate if you're slandered, lied about, or misrepresented? We hate that. That's not true. Was Jesus ever slandered? All the time. He was lied about. He was belittled, insulted. How many of us like being insulted? We hate that. It's really painful. You know, if someone insults you intentionally, it's like you feel that for the next day. Like you need somebody to like pray for you. It's like it hurts. You got to talk to somebody about it. He knew that all the time. The religious leaders followed Jesus around, lied about him, called him a glutton and a drunkard. He cast out demons. They said, oh, you cast him out by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Imagine this, the Son of God, sent from heaven, is accused of being a servant of the devil. That's pretty slanderous. Next, disappointment, suffering disappointment. Does Jesus understand what it's like for other people to let you down? Totally. In his most difficult time and darkest hour, what did his best friends do? They fell asleep. And Jesus, in real honesty, comes to him and says, guys, couldn't you Stay awake with me for just 1 hour. Didn't you care enough just for 1 hour? And then he's betrayed. How many of us like being betrayed? There's people in your lives that you love, you feel like you're together, and they leave. They abandon the relationship. They walk away from you. That's one of the most painful things we go through. Worse yet, someone betrays you. They hurt you. Jesus had a traitor in his band of men for 3 years, and he knew what was coming. Jesus was alone facing his death. Nobody understood. They didn't get what was going to happen. Why would Jesus leave heaven and come to earth to endure all that? Go ahead, Carla. For love. For love. He did it for you and me. Because Jesus suffered, this is number 9, he understands all you go through. And the next point is Jesus chose to endure all this, and you can write in big letters, for me. Look at Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Let's read this together. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Wow. Pierced. Why was Jesus pierced? For my sins. Why was he crushed? For our transgressions, our iniquities. Why was he punished or beaten? For our peace, our well-being. Why was he whipped, his scourging or his wounds? By his wounds, what? We're healed. All of us like sheep have what? Gone astray. Is there anyone who's never gone astray from God? No, we all have. The Lord has caused the sin, iniquity, and guilt of us all to fall on him. That means it doesn't have to fall on you. Hallelujah. Jesus took it for us. Can we get the worship team up for our last song? There's a song that we sing that I like, Grace Like a Flood. And one of the lines is, there's no greater love than your love for me. And so Jesus simply wants us to respond to his love. Lee shared how he realized what was keeping him from the love of God was a lack of faith and trusting in himself rather than trusting in God. So most of you here have been Christians for a long time, but you may find yourself, I'm not really trusting God the way I need to. I'm not really putting my faith in him. Today's a day to respond. Maybe you've never made a personal decision where you said, I choose to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness, and I choose to put my trust in him. You can do that right now. We're going to pray. That's the best response you can have to Jesus. You hear what he can do, you believe it, and you act on it. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you that no one loves us as much as you love us. Father, I pray for my friends here today. I pray for myself that we can put our trust in you. Whatever cares and anxieties we have, whatever fears we're bearing on our own, Father, we want to give them to you. Because you care for us. You're aware of how hard it is. You will exalt us at the right time. So just take a minute, talk to the Lord yourself. All right, I'm going to pray over a few things, and if you agree with them, then I want you to pray like you mean it, and just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're a great king. Thank you for bearing my sins. Thank you for being wounded so I can be healed. I give you my sins. I give you my pride. I give you my fears. I give you my cares, my disappointments, my feeling badly about myself. Please lift me up. Heal me. Strengthen me. Let your courage fill my heart. Let your spirit fill me from head to toe. I love you. I put my trust in you. I want you to be honored in my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.